No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it, hour two of Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Glad you're along for the ride. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of the show. 6785, Eric, Money G in Kansas, Cubsker, John and Cortland, appreciate all of you chiming in so far throughout the show. Jay, did you see a Money G in Kansas, what he posted from his grill?
Yeah, he handling business like a champion.
I assume burnt ends are supposed to be burnt ends. Now, those jalapeno poppers, oh boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Good stuff, Money
yeah.
G.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's a nice little weekend right there. I wonder what the occasion was.
Why'd you need an occasion to grill?
That's a lot of people that's just you're feeding right there. So it's definitely has to be an occasion. It might have been for, he's in Kansas. Maybe he's watching the Kansas State game.
Ooh, Money G, were you watching the Kansas State-Iowa State game? Let us know, 402-464-568. While we wait for a response on that, I got a chance, and so did the rest of the media, a chance to hear from Nebraska's coordinators today. Matt Rhule will speak for the final time before Nebraska heads down to Kansas City tomorrow. Jay, we'll start with defense. We know that's where you like to be. John Butler, who is going to be wearing the headset for John Butler to communicate with? He said it's going to be a linebacker. Here's the full answer from Nebraska's defensive coordinator.
Right now, we're going to have the linebacker it'll rotate based on who's in there. We'll be in there to help us communicate the defenses. And it's a fine line, right? You have to like the 15-second mark, and you don't want to be that guy that's saying, hey, alert to this, alert to that, alert to this. But you give them the call, and then you give them an alert of like, you know, hey, this is what I'm thinking here. Be alert to this by this down in distance. But then you've got to be careful because then he's got a job to do too. You know, and different players in different areas are more comfortable with that, you know, so I'm going to kind of have to feel that out, my relationship with the player that I'm talking to, how much they can handle, how much they can then communicate to the people that they're working with. I always felt like it's a great tool if used properly, meaning that give them the call, give them a couple bullet points, let them play. But I've also been around people that are talking to them the whole time and the ball gets ready to get snapped or it's at the 15 seconds and they haven't really had a chance to process what they're doing. So I think it's going to be an area where I'm going to have to figure out early in the season to see how we can best utilize it to maximize the value to our defense, but not to the point where I'm handicapping them in any way, if you know what I mean.
What would your advice be for the linebackers listening to John Butler and your advice for John Butler talking to his linebacker wearing the green dot, Jay?
I don't know if I have advice. I think it's just, like you said, he has to learn – what guy can handle what, and then you just have to curtail how you're communicating with him. You know what I'm saying?
Who did you like hearing from in your helmet?
Well, I never got it. I'm dating myself. We never had that.
Ah.
The only person I ever talked to on the phone was Vic Fangio or Reggie yelling at me. Either yelling at me or yelling at me to tell yell at somebody else. Jerry was
lots of yelling,
though. Gary Walker and Jamie Sharper. One of the two. No, all jokes aside. So, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. I think you got to see who can handle it and see who embraces it. I think it's a tremendous opportunity to, you know, take over a leadership role. Obviously, you know, your play has to match that, you know, as well. But, you know, a true middle linebacker takes pride in everything that that you know, comes with it. That's taking the call, being able to, you know, intake a lot of information and tips and being able to relay that clearly and then go out there and do your job. And it takes some practice, but it takes some practice, right? And then it takes some confidence. And then you have to be really self-aware to be able to communicate back to the coaches what you can handle, what you like and don't like. Some guys just say, give me the call and shut up. Some guys that need the tips. And because then it helps them go and play freer. So, and some guys are kind of in between. That you have to understand is that you have to be able to build a relationship with the player or players, whoever's going to be wearing it, that communication and that time together is there. Example, like when we had to signal the calls in, I had a good enough relationship, I felt, with Coach McBride and been in there and really listened to all the calls, regardless if I was in the practice or in the game or whatever. Every detail that they were, you know, either Coach McBride, Coach Samuel or Coach Barnes or Coach Darlington was given, like when we were in all defensive meeting, giving tips to their players. You got to know all that, right? And then when Coach McBride would signal those calls in, you know, I studied it and would just kind of ask him during the week, you know, and see what type of stunts they were running or what the theme was that week or what we were going to do. Because that helps you play a little bit faster, but more importantly, it helps you communicate that much clearer. Mm-hmm. So if I knew a certain stunt was coming with the defensive call in the front, and, you know, and say you had we call it a tag with it, well then, number one, I could relay it to the team or the defense. Even if I could do it 5 seconds faster, right? It allows everybody else 5 extra seconds to go and play your best. Then it allows me to predict, adjust, or whatever I need to do.
That's 5 more seconds of two-way communication instead of one-way.
Two-way communications, and it's multiple. Mm-hmm. And then also, then I get to go and say, okay, in this formation with this stunt in this down and distance, I can expect play one, two, worst case three, coverage or my coverage responsibilities, one or two. Mm-hmm. You're able to play fast that way. So that's what makes it. So I always felt like at the end of the game, more than as much as physically, but mentally and emotionally, you should be exhausted. Exhausted. Because you're just you're in it. Mm-hmm. You ain't even like, you're so engulfed in the game. Every single point of every single play, you're engulfed in the game. Like if you're in the game, say you were in the game and I wasn't, I still got to know the call. I still got to relay the checks. So when you come out, me and you got to communicate. Mm. And then it's a team game because we in it. And that's part of it. You want to be the extension of the coaches when you're a middle linebacker or the play caller. Mm. Same thing as a quarterback. You know, Dylan and
Dana
want to be on such a good, like, communication or rapport that they're almost like finishing each other's sentences. Mm-hmm. You know, so you want to go over it. You want to, like, you know, almost like when Dylan's going over the play, or like if I was going over Coach McBride's plays, I want to hear him saying it. But we were getting in the signals.
Eric says, Jay, you know Vic and Reggie wouldn't have yelled at you if you weren't messing up.
That's not true. That's not true. They would yell at me when I would mess it up. Actually, sometimes when I'm playing good. But then they would yell at me sometimes to be like, why did you not get so-and-so in the right place? Well, I'm trying to do my job first, and you know, Benji Olsen is trying to come and murder me. I'm sorry, I couldn't get somebody in the same base defense that we've been running for 3 years. But
it's still 3rd and 7, man.
Yeah, it's still 3rd and 7, man. So yeah.
On the linebackers too, I think Nebraska's got some pretty good options to wear that green dot. Guys listed as starters, the co-starters of course, Marquise Watson-Trent or Vincent Shavers Jr. Shavers, of course, dealing with a little bit of the hamstring deal. That's either, if in Shavers' case, guy that was voted a single digit by his teammates, or in Watson-Trent, former Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Year upperclassman. He's seen himself some football. And on the other side, Javen Wright, program dude, seen a lot of football. Or really the story, I think, of spring camp, Jacob Bauer, there behind Javen Wright in that backup position at middle linebacker. Whoever ends up wearing the green dot for Nebraska seems like they should have 4 pretty good, competent options in making sure the play calls get relayed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Watson has had a lot of history of doing it and has played a lot of plays. Probably has the most playing experience as far as, setting the huddle and going through that whole process. And obviously, Javen Wright, as well. And then after that, then you would probably think Shavers. And that's, maybe, because then you got a lot, sometimes you want to not put too much on a young linebacker's plate. Probably Bauer. I don't really know him that well, so I can't really say, but maybe.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A lot of guys that just haven't played yet, you want them just to play, and you want the guys that can do both do it. So then whoever can step to the forefront. Here's what, for everybody that's listening and doesn't understand what all goes into it and what really goes into, in my opinion. Now, anybody else's opinion, that's fine. I'm just going off of my experience. And this is how I learned. When I was at Nebraska, I had great, mentors when I was coming up, and went from a guy that just needed to be told what to do so I could go play to eventually move into a leadership role, is it's not just calling the plays. It's having command of the huddle. You got to have command of 10 other guys. You got to have the respect of 10 other guys or more, but just the 11 guys that are out there. Command of the huddle is something that both at quarterback, but at middle linebacker, that goes under the radar. I know we have Brian Munson in there. That needs to be, if quarterback is arm strength, command of the huddle is like number 3. Arm strength, ability to like digest information and execute, command, number 3. Linebacker, you get all the little, underwear Olympic stuff, command the huddle. Because if you get in the huddle and you're like, over cover 3, do not clip that, okay?
For tonight. Over cover 3.
That ain't working. They're like, what? Seriously.
I got to make a note. Do not clip 1:15:15.
No, do not clip that. But because I remember, I'll tell you this story, man. The first time I called the huddle as a rookie. So I'm in there. I'll never forget.
Your voice cracked?
No. I was dry. I kept my mouth guard in.
Ah.
It was Bruce Smith, Phil Hansen, Ted Washington, me. Ted Washington is the biggest human being.
Matt Washington, baby.
Dude, he's big. And he got, you know, he's my protector. And he's like, what we got? What we got? You will hurry up. What we got? I got nervous. I started getting nervous. He's like, stop acting like you scared. Take your mouthpiece out. Call the defense. Hey, punked me into reality. Mm. He's like, take your mouthpiece out. He's like, you know, but you need
that.
You got
a job to do.
And then I learned, you know, John Hollisek was great, you know, at the pro level, how to command, because they're looking for you. Look, you're gonna face some adversity at some point. If you think Nebraska is going to go through this whole season, 12 games, and just mow people down, I mean, that would be great, because then we'd be going to the college football playoffs, which we still will be. But if we think we're just going to go game one to game 12, 56-0 every game and no adversity, you're just kind of like, all right, we're just here. That's not going to happen. So defensively and offensively, they're going to look to the people in front of the huddle for guidance. Mm-hmm. Because your back's going to be – this is where the team comes in. And so command of the huddle and getting everybody's attention, and how do you really command all 10 other guys is a big part of it. And what Coach Butler is talking about is a big part of that.
Let's hear more from John Butler. What does he want to see from his defensive front during the first game against Cincinnati? Here's the defensive coordinator.
Really all I want the front to show is they got to get off the ball. I mean, I'm talking about – freaking get off the ball and create a new line of scrimmage, either whether it's their get off or their movement. So we want them living in the other team's backfield from an effort standpoint. And then obviously from a physicality standpoint, the physicality of your defense is established by your front, whether it's a front four or front five. Are they knocking the offensive line back? Are they creating a new line of scrimmage? Are they being disruptive? Are they allowing your back seven, your linebackers and your safeties in the run fit to overlap and make plays on the ball? If they're doing that, then we're playing defense the way we want to play. If they're not doing that, then we're going to have to make some adjustments with how they're playing, but also maybe how we're calling the game. So the heart and soul of your defense, any good defense, is your D-line. We feel like we got some good young players there that have physicality, they have movement, they have explosive playmaking ability. And you know, that's honestly one of the most exciting things for me heading into the game. You know, having gone against our offensive line, who I've attested to is very good, works very well together, they're gigantic. Now we're going up against another offensive line, which is another test. I think it's going to be good for us to see where we stack up against them as we move forward this season.
A good defensive line is the heart and soul of any good defense. You agree, Jay?
Yeah, defense and offensive line, but in particular, he's talking about the defensive line. And, you know, look, it's a great opportunity for him. To take a step in the right direction. And look, I think, look, you lost a ton of experience and playmaking ability on the defense as a whole, period. You can't minimize that, but you can't change it though either. So if you sit there and say, oh, we lost these guys we're just going to just lollygag around and just take punches in the face, that's not what you came to Nebraska for. Every guy on the team, especially on defense, came here with the intention to be out there on Saturdays, or in this case, Thursdays. So this is your opportunity to go out there and play. And I like what he said there. And I will tell you, look, every defense, every great defense sometimes doesn't start as fast as they like. You know, I was telling people, like, you know, there's some, you know, Wyoming came in and gave 94, gave a little bit of a problem. Washington State gave us a little bit of a problem when we were 95. And so that you take some time to adjust. So what in my experience sometimes, if you're not really playing to the clip that you normally like, or you think they should in this game or any game, he's like, we got to adjust our calls. So if Austin is playing way too passive, you blitzing, period. So I'm taking all the guesswork out. So
get the blood pump and go get it.
Well, just so you're not coming to the sideline, and sometimes you can almost play, like, try to play too perfect, like, think of 85 different plays when the play that you need to play is just right there in front of you. So now we're going to wake you up a little bit. And I've been on, matter of fact, I mean, Jerry Gray used to do that all the time. If we were tripping, If Greg, listen, in our defenses were okay, you know, really wasn't that good. Or like Wade, right? Okay, Wade Phillips, right? Like, if, like sometimes I remember Wade telling us one time, I overthought it. We were, you know what I'm saying?
Got too cute.
Got too cute. He's like, that's why in the second half, we really majored in what's called saw one dog. That's Sam and Will, man to man. Lock up, let's go. Corners earn your money. Linebackers cover. Bruce and company, go get the quarterback. It happens. Sometimes you could come in. They could adjust. The Bearcats or Cincinnati could be doing something that you weren't expecting or really having success with what they're doing. You got to adjust. That's, you know, probably where his NFL experience comes into, mm-hmm. which is football is football. And sometimes you got to adjust on the fly and have the ability to. I don't know if he's on the field or not. I mean, that's probably something that they should ask. That's what Nick Sanders should be asking.
I know Dana will be down on the field again.
Yeah, but we need to ask. We'll see. Nick, wasn't Nick there? Nick was there. You were there?
I was there.
See, no, but.
I was there. Put it on me, Jay. Yeah, I didn't ask.
See, I was going to say.
I'll wear that one. That's
you know,
on me.
You know why you got to go this time?
Because Nick was on air?
No, because there wasn't no food there.
True.
Nick played you.
Well,
It'd be the ones that's so close to you, though, Austin.
You know what else I got? I got this though.
Yeah, but Nick went over there, got the shrimp and steak, and then showed it.
And the corn and the hot dog.
Hey, Mr. Upgrade, be doing it. No, but I'm just saying, if he's upstairs or if he's on the field, the ability to have a feel for the game mm-hmm. and be able to adjust on the fly is a huge quality to have. Mm-hmm. And that's also where you're able to receive information and have confirmation from people around you to be able to say, okay, maybe we should try this.
And John Butler talked about that, right? He pointed back to his days playing basketball, got to think fast in basketball. That's kind of who he is, right? He said high energy, and he prides himself on his ability to identify something and then find a way to communicate it very quickly. Before we go to break, let's hear one more cut here from John Butler. How will Brendan Sorsby and Cincinnati's offense challenge Nebraska in the first game with their tackling ability? Here's Nebraska defensive coordinator John Butler.
The test is going to be great. You look at these games from this week and the week zero games. We watched a significant amount of them in our staff room, just some of the things that happened. And other than ball security, the number one thing that stood out was the poor tackling. So we've been emphasizing it. I'm sure you guys are going to ask me about it every week, depending on whether we tackle well or we don't. But tracking the near hip, taking the extra step, getting body on body, having population there, being physical. I think that's going to be a challenge every week, every team we're playing, specifically this week in Cincinnati with all of their skill that we think they have and then the skill that they brought in that we've got to see and kind of test out early. So I think it's a challenge.
When you think about the challenge for Nebraska in tackling, Jay, I'm sure some of it is they just haven't done a lot of it. You can only go live so much, so just getting live reps against even your own team has been few and far between, let alone an opponent who wants to make you miss tackles. But when you think about week one tackling, what is it about week one that leads to the most missed tackles or missed assignments in that area?
It's just that you haven't done it, and you're trying to probably amped up and – I mean, it's a multitude of things. You know, doing what you practice, fundamentals, you know, obviously low pad level, being violent with your hands, getting off the ball or getting off blocks. And obviously, you know, before that, getting off the ball and establishing, you know, obviously whether you're setting the edge or, you know, a fill or alley player, getting it more crisp. That's why you see such an improvement from week one to week two or game one to game two. And just getting used to game speed. I mean, you got to think Cincinnati's going down to Kansas City, you know, thinking about an upset. They figure like their backs are against the wall. They're probably only going to have minimal fans there. They're going into the Lions Den, so you're going to get the best version of them. And they pose some problems. A running quarterback is probably the kryptonite to any great defense. And you know, and so you have to be able to rally to the ball. They call it population, right? Mm-hmm. You got to rally to the ball. You got to have really good pursuit. But you also have to be like strategic and detailed in your pursuit. You got to know, we used to call it overlap, right? You know, you're running to the near hip and then you're running essentially to the next near hip as they go up the sideline, or that's to eliminate any cutbacks. That's how you're able to get explosive plays against a, you know, fast and over pursuing defense. And so you know, one thing I'll say before we go to break, this tackling is tackling. Let's like, don't overthink it. Don't make it into a science project. There's no perfect. Listen, you're going to get maybe four crisp tackles a year.
Not a game, not a month, a year.
Where you get it to where it's like, you know, angle, we used to call it angle tackle, where everything's lined up in a box and you get to really like unload. A lot of them are hustle. A lot of them are get him down by any means necessary. And then obviously you got to have good fundamentals to do any of those.
So really the only perfect tackle is one that gets the guy down.
By any means necessary. It, well, first, within reason. You don't need to be getting dragged and stuff.
No Vontaze Burfict. No hip drops.
No, you don't need to do all that. No DDTs or anything like that.
Nah. We'll be back. We got more Old School on the other side.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into Old School. Rolling right along, Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. This segment brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Pelham, Nebraska, and they offer free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl, triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more info at 402-430-3852 or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. We heard from John Butler. Time now to hear from Nebraska offensive coordinator Dana Holgorsen. Will Husker fans see all three guys listed with an or at left tackle play against Cincinnati on Thursday? Here's offensive coordinator Dana Holgorsen on the left tackle spot.
Well, it's kind of what or means. I'm not being mean, but it's kind of what that means. You know, I mean, we got another practice today, you know, and we got another practice tomorrow to kind of just keep plugging away at it. There's some backup receiver spots that I'd say the same thing. You know, there's some guys that, you know, and I think this may have to be a deal where in game, I'm going to have to look at some of these young guys at receiver. I'm good with the starters. Those guys are older. They're veterans. They're, you know, Nizaya, Dane, Ja'Cory, and then Bonner. I mean, those guys, I know what I'm going to get out of them guys. Okay. It's just all the other guys. And I could say the same thing at running back. You know what you're going to get out of Emmett, but the other guys, although they've been practicing really well, what's that look in their eye going to be like? You know, and that's first game stuff. We'll have a lot more answers Friday on what those guys look like, what the lineup settles in at, you know, and where we go from here.
That's the interesting balance for any team, Jay, but especially here in Nebraska, finding a way to win the game with players that you know you trust, but also having to walk that fine line of, well, those guys probably can't be out there every single snap. You want to rotate other guys in because you're excited about what you can do, but it's something we've heard a lot. Coaches not sure how their players are going to respond, mostly because they're young, not be, you know, and untested, more so than, oh, I know what's going to come, but I have to play this guy just because I feel obligated to. Really curious to see how Nebraska balances that, like Dana Holgorsen said, at left tackle, where you got three guys battling, right tackle with a couple guys battling, and then receiver, right? And running back, like Dana Holgorsen said, it's going to be a balancing act for Nebraska coaches to make sure they have the right guys in the right situations at the right time, you know, but not worrying as much about playing time because, of course, you got to win the game, and everyone should be on board with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they, at least from my experience, is that, you know, like the coaches, I'm trying to think now, it's like they always kind of let you know how you always kind of knew either the rotation or how many plays you're going to get or how many carries you could potentially get. Now, obviously, they always leave it out there. Now, if everything goes right, you know, then this is what's going to happen. And so the guys that are not the known entities have got to be ready. And then when they get in the game, they got to produce. Now, part of it is developing players and getting, you know, more guys in. And you'd like to think all the work you did in the offseason, training camp and all the walkthroughs and meetings and whatever else they do, you know, helps provide a foundation for guys to go in there and be successful, but then obviously prove themselves and continue to try to inch their way up the, you know, the ladder as far as the depth chart goes. But, you know, the guys that are supposed to be your bell cows, right? And you'd like to, you know, be, you know, all of them, in whether, you know, we'll talk about the depth chart, you know, in the third hour, is that you need those guys to step up big. But then also part of being on a team is other guys stepping up as well. This isn't just go through practice, go all the way down to Kansas City, and when your number's called, you just okay with just watching. I never understood that, just being okay, just getting a steak in a sweatsuit. And obviously an Instagram picture.
It's a really nice picture.
I just don't understand. I don't understand that mentality. Sure, there's different talent levels. There's different talent levels and different experience levels on all teams. And whether that's last year with Ohio State team, Michigan, or this year with Penn State or whatever, and there's different talent levels. And some of that talent level or how they're able to produce is based on their experience. Mm-hmm. But when you get a chance to get in the game, you got to get busy. Period. Like, this is the difference, man. The ice cream and cupcakes time of the year is over.
It's been over.
But I'm telling you right now, it's over, though. Like, this is real. This is real right now. This is not to be played with.
Not playtime.
No, it's not. And there is a different level of intensity. And whether you know it or not, you need to know it, and you need to act like it. This is a game where you need to expect and hope. You should hope, actually. Cincinnati bites back. I want some friction.
You need it. You got to have it. Without it.
Yeah, you got to be there to compete. Now, you obviously want to win. Just give me a little bit, just get a little warm up, you know what I'm saying? We got a heavyweight fight in week four, man. Let me just get a little, knock the dust off a little bit.
Get a little sweat going.
Why don't you just come right there and lay down?
No. Can't be one punching over.
Nah, man. So I think it's just one of those things that, like you said, the receiver, look, just because, again, we'll jump into the depth chart. Just because this is the initial depth chart. Okay, example. He mentioned Emmett. Emmett was third, I think, last year, or second for sure.
Second for sure.
And wasn't barely getting any reps at times, right? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, the game kind of dictated that. But then even when you saw little glimpses of Emmett, he wasn't getting a lot of opportunities. Here comes Dana. You get a bye week, off to the races. Mm-hmm. If you that tells you need to work while you wait. If you sit while you wait.
If you pout, if you mope.
You will be sitting. You can come to the garage, though. We'll get you some libations. I got you a couple of No, I'll just play a bit.
Dana Holgorsen, how has play calling been different for him than last season?
Yeah, it's a little different. I don't get tripped up nearly as much, it's our offense now, so I know it in and out as well as I need to know it. I got tripped up at times, and had to make some adjustments to what the offense was in order for it to make sense to me, and I think we've done that, and I think it makes a lot of sense to Dylan. And our communication is very, very, very good.
It's our system now. Of course, we know he came in on the fly last year, the modified system, right, took play calling duties over from Marcus Satterfield. Jay, how important is it for a quarterback to feel ownership in an offense, what he's doing, what he's running, be comfortable with the OC? And then on defense as well, I mean, obviously it's the coach's scheme, the coach's decision at the end of the day. But if you're a player and you're a coach, how do you create that relationship, create that buy-in to make the players feel like they have ownership of what they're being asked to do?
Well, I think it's a big deal for when he said that, this is our offense, and obviously, in connection with Dylan, because he's the guy that's got to drive the bus, and so you want him to be 100%, confident in what plays are being called and that he's put in the best position to help the offense to be successful. And then ultimately, the better the offense is, the better chance the team wins. Then obviously you want to have individual success. I mean, obviously if you have an offensive coordinator and want to run the triple option with Dylan, he wouldn't be happy. So it's kind of a very unique process, but I also think that it's something that when you have a coach that's willing, this is what I said about Dana. Don't know him personally, spoke to him, very little, but I've watched him. And when you have different, I mean it. And this isn't like being a homer. This is just giving him his just due. He's been able to have different types of players be successful in his offense. That lets me know if you play good football, you get in the rock. Mm-hmm. Period. He's an equal, you know, opportunity commissioner.
He's an everybody can. He's a can man.
He's a can man. If you can get open, if you can make plays, you can get it. Straight up. He's done it with you know, small guys and like Taven Austin. He's done it with Tank Dell. He's done it with even Coach Shorts. He was successful. Mm-hmm. I know he was up for Buffalo a little while. He had, was it Still or Stills? The tall,
David Sills.
Still, mm-hmm. kind of a little bit taller, not very fleet of foot. He had the wide receiver White mm-hmm. that ended up going to Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Kevin White.
Yeah, mm-hmm. big, strong, physical dude. You know, obviously great, you know, running after the catch. And once he started to get him going, they started feeding. And then he had different types of running backs as well. So, it'll be interesting to see how he calls it and what's different. I think it's not going to be drastically, but I think the rhythm is going to be. I think the connect. Look, they've been, you know, instead of being together 10 days, it's been 10 months. Mm. So there should be, you know, more continuity.
Let's go ahead and hear from quarterback one for Nebraska, Dylan Raiola. What does it mean to him to represent Nebraska as a season-long captain? We'll dive into that after we hear from QB1.
Yeah, it's a tremendous, tremendous honor to be able to represent this football team and represent, honestly, not even the guys here right now, but everyone that came before us, every single person that's walked through these doors, names up in the stadium, championships that have been won, and to be able to, you know, wear a C on my jersey. It's a lot more than just the patch. It's more of the blood, sweat, and tears that I had with these guys and just them being able to respond to me trying to, you know, lead them and all the guys that deserve captain honors. So it's an honor. You know, like I said, I'm very humbled to be in the position that I'm in to represent this football team.
Six players named season-long captains for Nebraska. That came out over the weekend. Dylan Raiola did say that he and a couple other players had gone to Matt Rhule a couple times and asked if that could be a thing. Jay, what do you make of that decision? You have single-digit numbers. Black shirts are coming probably this week, John Butler said. And now season-long captains for Nebraska. Seems like there's a real focus on finding and developing leaders in all sorts of different ways, named and unnamed.
Yeah, I mean, it takes, you know, it's going to take the whole team. Whether, you know, single digits is whatever the measuring system, captains another. You have kind of like your captains, you know, in your position group, multiple captains. And so for this team to be successful, it's going to have to be more than the single digit guys. And there is some crossover. Or, you know, the top, you know, the captains to be successful. You're going to have guys that are going to be able to step up in bigger ways than just in the stat sheet. So, you know, like right off the rip, you think of a guy like Lindemeyer. He's the elder statesman. He essentially got super promoted. Fedoni leaves for the league. Borkature goes to Texas A&M. You live on stage now. Mm-hmm. Not only from a player perspective, rep-wise, but from a leadership perspective. Then you essentially have two freshmen, three, in Carter Nelson. Harburg is still a freshman as far as playing tight end.
Yeah.
And then it was Ingerson is a freshman as well. There you go, buddy. You got to get open. You better catch it on third and whatever. You better block good. You better be the guy that's sets the tempo every day. And then you got to bring these dudes along with you. Mm-hmm. So that's a captain that, you know, maybe wasn't one of named one of the captains,
but it has to be one.
But he has to be one, whether he likes it or not. So not only he has to be a captain in the meeting room, but he has to be a captain in the locker room, in the weight room, practice field, and then obviously in this case Thursdays, but on Saturdays.
Captains for Nebraska: Sia Wright, Marquise Buford, and Deshaun Singleton, all single-digit guys as well from the defense. On offense, Dane Key, Dylan Raiola, and Henry Lutovsky. I know. Lutovsky, Raiola, and Key all spoke today, so I heard from the three offensive captains for Nebraska. We'll go to break. We'll put a bow on hour two of Old School. Lots more to get into with the depth chart and some NFL holdouts that have come to a close. All that and more ahead on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School, still plenty to get to. The segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. That's right, they've rebranded. You can still get your tickets, same place as always, LOVB.com. Find the Love Nebraska portal. Your chance to see all sorts of former Huskers, national champions, Olympic team players, and of course, Olympic champions all take the floor for Love Volleyball Nebraska. I'm Austin Norman. He is Jay Foreman. Jay, some news in the NFL. We'll get the little news out of the way, save the big stuff for potentially hour three of Old School. Amari Cooper traded from Cleveland to Buffalo during the middle of last year. Did not re-sign with Buffalo. Instead, he's signing a one-year deal to return to Vegas. He will take the field and pair up with Geno Smith and Pete Carroll.
I like that. I think Jacoby Myers is looking to find a new home. Nothing like getting an established, under-the-radar, borderline Hall of Famer in Amari Cooper as far as on the field, and then you're getting a Hall of Fame teammate and very consistent. And I think, you know, the connection between – I think that would provide Geno with some comfort there with a guy that you know that's going to be – as long as he stays healthy, he'll be good to go.
Have Pete Carroll offenses used – I mean, every offense can use a guy like Amari Cooper, but when I think about the Seattle offenses that the Pete Carroll had – they didn't really have that Amari Cooper, right? It was Tyler Lockett, in a lot of cases, was the guy that at least lasted the longest with Pete Carroll. What's going to make Amari Cooper such a good fit with Carroll, what he wants to do offensively, and then with Geno Smith and his arm?
Well, I think, obviously, he doesn't have the speed to probably take the top off the defense as he did as a younger player, but also I think that, you know, what he's a reliable 50-50 ball guy. He runs precise routes, so then there you're able to be on time and on schedule in the passing game. And obviously Pete Carroll is big into play action, obviously led by, you know, with the run. Obviously, you have Marshawn Lynch. You know, they don't have Marshawn Lynch, but they have the young rookie, Ginty. So it'd be interesting to see how they match it up with Pete Carroll's new offensive philosophy in this day and age. Mm-hmm. But I think Amari Cooper gives you two things. One, he's reliable, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, he's a leader. Number one, the respect is there from, you know, from Geno, the offensive coordinator, the players. But then also he's able to provide leadership to a young and upcoming wide receiver group. It's 1 year. So, you know, he's brought in to produce. He's brought in to lead. But then also he's brought in to provide something that wasn't there before. And so that's the consistency. And then obviously the threat. Amari Cooper in the scouting report is different than Jacoby Myers, even though Jacoby Myers had a good year last year. It's a difference in who you have to prepare for.
I was just going to say, first 1,000-yard year for Jacoby Myers. He had at least 700 yards every year since his rookie year in New England, where he only started one game. Since then, 730, 866, 804, 807, then the 87 catches, 4,027 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Jacoby Myers. I get it. Go get your money, young fella, but that doesn't seem like he'd accomplished enough to me to try to hold out and get the trade the way that he did, right? He's a good player, but man, it hasn't exactly been the most consistent guy on the planet. Some of that's certainly, you know, circumstantial and situational, but man, if I'm Jacoby Myers, I play this out. And then if I really believe myself, there's a big free agent payday waiting for me. I think he might've rushed the issue a little bit.
Yeah. But you also know you want to do that, right now, because you have a new coaching staff in there, and so you want to see if they're committed to you or not, because you don't want to be left in limbo.
No.
And you don't want to be left out there like Jennings was with the 49ers. Now he's hurt and you don't have that security, because you want to take advantage. Look, there's been guys that had a really good year and got paid, so your agent's job is to get the maximum amount of dollars when the opportunity is there, and you can't get paid unless you ask for it. I do think there's a market for him because he's a young and upcoming receiver. They might not value him in Las Vegas, but that doesn't mean that he's not valued other places. There's wide receiver issues across the board. Now, will he get paid to the maximum like he wants? Probably not. The problem with the Raiders is this. They've shown right now with Pete Carroll, if they don't like you or don't respect you, or you're not in, if they don't feel like paying you, you're gone. And that's the old school mentality of, you really could do that back when I played. It's a new old school mentality with these Raiders of whether it's Wilkins and Myers. And that's what a coach will come in. He'll get rid of all the I wouldn't call him a problem challenge, but guys that either buck the system or really want to get paid. And they feel like they're going to pay you when they deem is right versus when you want to get paid.
Especially a guy like Pete Carroll, strong personality.
He has nothing to lose. This is his last go-round. He's not getting another head coaching job. Obviously, he has some bandwidth there to make some personnel decisions. Now, whether it's directly or indirectly, obviously, he's putting his stamp on it, or it's looking like he's putting his stamp on it, or okay with it. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to build this franchise. Look, he's a winner. Mm-hmm. And so they're letting him, actually, unlike previous Raider coaches, let him build it the way he wants to.
More NFL news on the other side, as well as a deep dive into the Husker football depth chart. Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman over there. I'm Austin Norman. Another hour of Old School to go right after this.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.